This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Joining us in studio right now, one of the most impressive guys out there, and someone that has a resume that is really unmatched, a two-time Super Bowl champion. He's here on behalf of the Mayo Clinic Comeback Player of the Year Award, honoring college football student-athletes who have overcome injury, illness, and other adversity to get back on the field. And he's also fresh off the MBA that he got from Wharton, he achieved from Wharton, and now he's working with Goldman Sachs as a VP in private wealth management. That is a mouthful, and that is very, very impressive. Justin Tuck is here with us. Justin, good morning. How are you?
You're too kind, man. You're too kind. Yeah. I need to come back more often if I'm going to get a reception like that.
Well, you deserve it, man. Right. I tell you, with the athletes, the amount of money they're making these days, Justin, you know, hopefully you're making some good contacts.
They need to be calling me, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, they should be calling you.
Right. I mean, this is one of those things that's talked about in the rookie symposium, the wealth management and guys getting the money and making sure they're making the right decisions. But, like, how many of those guys, like, what percentage of those guys actually is like sinking in at that point of their lives? Because I'm sure that there's some like, yeah, whatever, leave me alone, I'll think about this in 10 years.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully now I think the narrative is starting to change. You're starting to see, you know, guys think about this a lot earlier than they did when guys like Boomer played long time ago.
Yeah, a long time.
But no, it's, I think the narrative has changed, and you've seen a lot of the things with, you know, LeBron and a lot of other players with the more than an athlete slogan and so on and so forth. And the movement has made guys more aware that, you know, for some reason or another, we as athletes try to figure out ways to reinvent the wheel. And think that we're different from those that have come before us, and we've seen the horror stories. So I think guys are taking more onus on the fact that we are making a lot more money, and these type of contracts, this type of wealth should not only last us, but last into, you know, generation two and three. So I am excited and happy to be a part of what is the new wave of guys, you know, thinking about this type of stuff, and hopefully we'll stop seeing some of the horror stories that we've seen in past times.
Yeah, it could get pretty ugly. And, you know, we know our colleague Bart Scott actually works, you know, educating young athletes as to how to protect their money and what to do. And I think he does that along with Goldman Sachs as well. Isn't that right?
No, he doesn't.
No, it's not Goldman. It's somebody else. I forget who. But of you are trying to do the same thing.
Exactly. And I think, you know, like I said, you're starting to see guys who have did the right things with their money take more of a ownership in – hopefully helping the next wave, because, you know, there's stories with, you know, guys who've played for a long time who's done very well after their career in whatever the sport they would have played, but haven't necessarily been a story about people who have played the game well, transitioned to something else, and then have tried to take what they've learned in that second career and put it back into that league. And that, I think you're starting to see a little bit more of that.
We're talking to Justin Tuck, former Super Bowl champion with the Giants, who's really dressed very well today.
Yeah, he's making me nervous, man. He's like an upper management guy now.
I mean, he looks good, man.
He
looks good.
I know, he does look good.
He's smart, he looks good. And you know what else? He owns more jerseys, I think, than any ex-athlete that I know, because every time I turn on the TV, there he is, either at a Yankee game or a Ranger game.
Yeah.
You know, he's at a Met game. Did you wear a Met uniform? A Met jersey? You didn't wear one of those, did
Everyone
you?
Everyone that knows me knows that I am a New York sports fanatic, and that starts, obviously, with the New York Giants, the Yankees, and the Rangers. But listen, if the Mets were in the running, I would be rooting for the Mets as well.
What about
I'm
the
a
Jets?
Yankee fan. Don't get it wrong.
What about the Jets?
If they were playing the Patriots, I would root for them.
Okay.
That's about it.
Yeah, but here's the deal. So the Yankees, you're Yankees, man. I mean, they sweep right through the Twins and everything.
I kind of feel bad for Minnesota, man. They haven't had a good time. If I'm a Minnesota fan, I'm like, do not pair me in any round with the Yankees, because the Yankees have had that.
Feel bad? Come on, man.
I'm a nice guy.
I don't think the Minnesota Vikings felt bad after they left the Meadowlands on Sunday.
Not at all. I mean, listen, I don't feel bad. That's a strong statement. I I would like the Minnesota Twins to not have to play the Yankees in the first round of playoffs. How about that?
That's a
later
little
on, we can let them just get a win under their belt. What is it, 13 in a row, I think?
Yeah
it's crazy. So I see at Madison Square Garden all the time, Nick games and, of course, Ranger games. And I love when you wear your Ranger jersey to the Garden, because I think when you sit behind the opposing team, you tend to intimidate those guys a little bit.
You do not intimidate hockey players. I appreciate you throwing it out there.
Yeah.
I don't think
I'll tell you, Nick Mangold came to a game and
Nick
definitely
is crazy.
He is nuts.
He definitely
impacted Klingberg from the Dallas Stars. Without question, he was screaming his name the whole night.
Nick is.
So what do you think of our team this year? What do you think?
Listen, I think the Rangers are young, fast. I would like them to see them be a little bit more physical.
Yeah.
I didn't like that. I think the first game, Lundqvist saved, 47 shots?
Yeah, see?
But listen.
I call him Ice Manning.
The speed they have on that ice is obviously noticeable, and I think they're going to pick themselves. I expect them to score a lot of goals this year.
I just hope they make the playoffs. We'll see.
They're very athletic.
So this was a wild few months for the Giants, right? You get the Odell Beckham Jr. trade. I mean, you got Daniel Jones, the draft pick. Dave Gettleman's. It's purging.
It's like part of course in New York. Right?
Sure. But even this was a little extreme, right? I mean, signing a guy to a long-term deal to make him a Giant for the rest of his career and then trading him a couple months later was a little nuts. It looks like it has. But now that things have settled down and the switch was made from Eli to Daniel Jones, it looks like this team is rebuilding. What is your state of the Giants right now, your state of the union with the Giants?
You said it. They're rebuilding. I think a lot of times fans don't like that word, and they don't want to hear that. But this team, I think what they have done is they've solidified what looks like is going to be the quarterback of the future. I think a lot of the questions around what they saw in Daniel Jones to warrant that high draft pick has been answered in some regards. He definitely has the talent to be where he is. He's a rookie. He's still going to make rookie mistakes. But I do think that position is solidified going forward. Best running back in the league, probably. I would say there's nobody that will put Saquon outside the top three running back in the league as far as what he comes up. And then from there you gotta just get pieces. I think they've improved the O line. I think they got some young talent on the D line. We got a lot of injuries at linebacker right now. That definitely bit us in the butt against a physical Minnesota team last week. But like I said, it's a rebuilding team. I think Gettleman is going to take his time and do the things that he likes to do as far as building a team. He doesn't really care what other people say about it. You can like it, love it, or dismiss it. But I think he has a plan, and he seems to be going about it the right way. But this season is going to be what we all thought it was going to be. It's going to be a year that we are trying to find our groove and what is going to be the future of the New York Giants. So it's not going to get any easier,
no,
obviously, what we have on Thursday night.
No.
So
Oh, that's got to be painful for you to watch, right? I mean, this is like
buckle up, Giants fans.
It's
going to take us a while, but we'll be back. This franchise doesn't stay down long.
Hey, what I see is a young quarterback that stands in a pocket and can move.
Poise, right?
And he does have poise, and you can see it, and you can see it from the defensive line perspective, because last night Nick Bosa basically said they intimidated Baker Mayfield, that they got after him, that he was jittery, skittish, all those things that we've heard about other quarterbacks that nobody likes to hear about your quarterback, but nobody is hearing that about Daniel Jones right now.
Yeah.
And look, you played with the young Eli Manning. He won you two Super Bowls, so I'm sure you're indebted to him as much as he is indebted to you and your defensive line and your performances in those games. But I always think back to the game that was played, the NFC Championship game in San Francisco, where both of you defenses went after the opposing quarterback.
Yeah.
And both quarterbacks, Alex Smith included, got up again and again and again. And I think both quarterbacks got hit like 35 times in that game.
Yeah.
That was one of the best football games I think I'd ever seen. And that will be forever remembered the back of my mind, one of the great performances of a quarterback in the history of the league. And that was Eli Manning.
Well, I mean, you remember playing at Candlestick and anything in San Francisco. I don't know what it is about the water level there, but the field is always pretty mushy.
Right.
And I can just remember Justin Smith and Alden Smith hitting Eli on a play, and it literally looked like his his entire body like sunk in the ground, and I think like David Deal or one of our old linemen had to like grab his jersey and like, you know, when you pick something out of something wet and squishy, it makes that squishy noise, like that suction noise when you pick them out of the ground. That's, I think, the noise that Eli made when they picked him out of the dirt. It left an imprint of his body outline in the ground. But he, like you said, they both, even Alex Smith, and I know we hit Alex a lot that game, they both got up and they still was slinging the ball. You know, I didn't watch all the game last night, but listen to the comments, you know, as far as Bosa, I think, you know, Sherman has some things to say about Baker. Listen, all I know is all the hype of that football team was bolted around those young wide receivers, that young quarterback, and it hasn't worked out yet. Obviously, it's young in the career. I mean, early in the season, it hadn't worked out yet. But I just feel like, you know, this might be that slap in the face or that wake-up call that they need to go back to the drawing board and just understand that this is a league of grown men. You haven't done nothing yet.
I was thinking, though,
When
you guys are getting ready to play the Patriots twice,
sure,
all you heard about was how great the Patriots were.
That's
right,
I love
all
it.
Week long, right?
Love it.
Right. And so you took that to the field and you performed and you won the game. I just think that everybody is targeting the Browns. I mean, everybody in the league is targeting the Browns. They're sick of the Browns.
Well, listen, they've made their bid. No one told them to come out and be as vocal as they were, and just it just seems like for a team that hasn't done much, they were just already crowning them to be this new upstart, you know, take the league by, you know, storm type of football team. Listen, I don't care what the talent you have on a football team. I've played against teams that have been super talented. If you don't have all the pieces of the puzzle to play in place, especially leadership, all that goes for naught. And you can tell that San Francisco 49er team, they have the talent, they have the leadership, they have the heart to play for each other and together. And that's what happens when you have a team like that. 31-3.
Kick their ass.
Yeah,
you walk off that
close.
Field, you feel good about it.
Yeah, and that team seems to be going in the right direction, and while it looks like the Cleveland Browns are not.
Good. Talking to Justin Tuck, two-time Super Bowl champion with the Giants. Now, during the whole Odell saga, we got a ton of calls, and Giant fans were saying, get him out of here. I'm tired of his act. Sure. I can't take it anymore. And the reason why Giant fans were saying that is because Giant fans love players like you, who were championship players. You showed up to work every day. You're in the Ring of Honor. You did it the right way. And they didn't like the way Odell went about his business. Mm. Now, from your perspective, was that a fair or unfair assessment from a lot of Giants fans on Odell Beckham Jr.?
Listen, the one thing I know about Odell is he's very passionate, and his passion comes from a place of wanting to win. And that's the first thing. Second thing, he's young. He's had a lot of success in his league. He has a lot of people that have told him how great he's been for so long and blah, 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 blah. And that can kind of go in your, you know, seep down in your head and just, in a lot of ways, you know, steer you in a lot of the wrong directions. Like, you know, I think it's going to come off of me being critical of him. I'm not being critical of him. I'm just saying that I think as he grows a little bit more as in this league and as a man, and he gets a little older, he's going to realize that he'll figure out ways to channel his passion, which is coming from the right place. He'll figure out how to channel his passion to be to pull people along with him and not separate people. I think he's allowed the passion he has for winning to kind of, in a lot of ways, separate him from the team aspect of the game.
Yeah, Justin, he as a teammate, I think his teammates loved him.
They did.
And the teammates in Cleveland love him. But that's not what we're all talking about.
I get it. Yeah.
We're talking about the stuff off the field. There's the stuff that was going on the field with him and Josh Norman. Now, obviously, we've moved away from that.
Yep.
But then he gives the interview with Lil Wayne and about Eli and whether or not he wants to be here after they give him a big contract. That's all the stuff that everybody was criticizing
but
him
I think
about.
I think Odell, in a lot of ways, he finds a way to be distracting without knowing he is. I don't think he means to be. I don't think he's doing anything where he wants to be, distracting to the team. But he finds, because he's such a polarizing figure, because of the things he's done in this league, he probably has a fan base made up of, 20% football fans, 80% just, whatever the term
general
you want to
public,
use,
general public that just actually just, like him and like the personality.
They like the personality, right. Like the theatrics and so on and so forth. So, I mean, it's tough for a young kid to be, obviously he's not as young as he used to be, but like coming from the success he's had and having people around who's just telling him he's the greatest thing since sliced bread, that's a tough situation to be in. And I think he needs people around him that leadership component. I would love to have seen him had somebody, you know, that had been in the similar shoes as he has been in to kind of show him the ropes and show him how to handle those situations.
Were you annoyed? Let me rephrase this. What were your initial feelings when you started to see what was going on with Antonio Brown? You know, like what he was doing with the Raiders. Forget about the Patriots now. Let's just talk about the Raiders and coming into camp with frozen or frostbitten feet and all that other stuff and the helmet nonsense. But what were your initial feelings? Like,
I honestly try to stay out of things that don't, you know, deal
but
with.
But you had to have feelings. I was annoyed.
I don't know what I was. I was confused, first of all.
Yes.
I didn't necessarily understand what his play was in handling those situations to do something. Listen, money is not everything. Don't get me wrong what I'm about to say. And you never play this game. You never should play this game for the money part of it. You should play it because you're passionate about the sport, and it's what I feel as though is the greatest, you know, team sport in the land. I just don't understand what his thought process was and why he would do something to put himself in a situation to lose whatever he lost.
It's 20, not right, 30, right? Whatever. Something just not right.
I think over time we'll probably figure out that there probably is something there. But like even that, I think the people around him, who's advising him, is he listening to advice? I don't know. But you know, I don't have the inside information on what really went down, why he felt the way he felt, but in my opinion, he definitely handled it the wrong way.
Yeah, you know, I think that the league is better when he's on the field.
100%, phenomenal talent.
Yeah, now all the stuff off the field, I don't know what's right, what's true, what's not true. He's got a lot of accusations being thrown at him from a lot of different ways, and he's pissed off a lot of people. He hasn't paid a lot of people. Like, if you had a wealth management person like you, you would make sure that he paid his bills. Am I right?
Pay your bills. That's one thing I
don't
make
owe anybody any money.
Right, exactly. And he's this notorious for that. Hey, maybe he comes back next year and he's a comeback player of the year candidate. And that's
that would
why,
be in the NFL, but
right,
not in college.
But in college, and that's why Justin is here at Mayo Clinic Comeback Player of the Year Award. You can
good
go
segue.
To comeback-player.com. 30 student athletes will be recognized throughout the season, with three eventual winners recognized during an on-field presentation at the Fiesta Bowl this year. So this is something that it's close to you because you came back from a major injury in college and then had a big year after that injury. So you're the perfect guy to talk about this.
Well, I don't know if I'm the perfect guy, but I definitely have a lot of experience in dealing with some of the same things that these kids have dealt with, being a, you know, highly sought after junior that was, you know, going to make a decision if I wanted to come back for my senior year, to being a senior who had all the promise in the world but was dealing with a knee injury that, you know, probably pushed my getting drafted in the third round, so on and so forth. And I just know the pressure that these kids are under to come back because if you think about it, all these top D1 schools, if you're the starter, that means that you probably have somebody right behind you who's a, you know, 4-star, 5-star guy that's going to just sit in there chomping at the bit for you to take, you know, for them to have the opportunity to take your position. And you're sitting on the sideline trying to come back from this injury. I know I probably came back a little too early, given a lot of things that was, you know, swirling around the situation I was in.
The insecurities of all the athlete. That's what
definitely insecurity. Yeah. Plus, like, you think, even when you do take your time to come back, you're thinking, oh, man, I can't make the cut I used to make. I can't, you know, run as fast as I used to. I don't know how this knee's going to handle up. I don't know if this shoulder's going to, you know, take the beating that I have to take on you. So a lot of it is mental as well. So I just wanted to kind of, you know, be a resource to these kids in dealing with this and give a little light to my experience and what helped me, what mistakes I made in it, and hope that they won't make the same mistakes I did, or that, you know, some of the things I did right in the situation, it'll help them as well.
Well, if their career turns out as good as yours or half as good as yours, they'll have something to write home about.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Now, are you like Terry Tate, office linebacker at Goldman Sachs? Like, all of a sudden you're like sacking the general counsel?
I put in my contract that they'll never ask me to hit anybody in the office.
But if you needed to, you could.
I'm still in shape.
You know, those guys over there at Goldman Sachs, not very tough when you really think about it.
Justin, it's great having you here. Really is. Always great to talk to you.
Always a pleasure, guys.
All right,
I appreciate
thanks,
it.
Justin. All right.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.